This is Richie in Minnesota, and you are listening to Most Wanted.
Hi, Sissy.
Hello.
Welcome back to episode 63.
Wow.
I'm Lauren.
And I'm Amanda.
Hi, Sissy. How are you this week?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Sunny day as we're recording, which is just nice.
It is just nice, and I hope that when this releases, it's still a sunny day.
I also hope
because we are officially in April.
Whew, we made it through March, through some dark stories.
We did make, oh gosh. Maybe next week we can relive the whole series, but right now it's too fresh.
Too fresh.
Mm-mm. Oh gosh. And I just want to say happy April because April is my favorite month for no real reason at all.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with it being my birthday month. Anyways.
Definitely not the fact that you're a Taurus.
Yeah, no. Oh, gosh, no. That would be... Whew. Oh, I just kicked something. Hello, my fellow Earth signs. I always love... I don't really actually like when people say that they're like a Earth, a water, or whatever. But at the same time, like, I am such an Earth sign. It's like, yeah, that tracks. All right. And you're a water, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I looked up, have you ever looked up your like big three or whatever it's called?
I have. I don't understand.
I took a screenshot because I knew I would never remember. So I'm trying to pull it up because I don't really understand either.
Yeah, I it's like, I just want my rising and my whatever to be Taurus because that's just is, it is what it is. I'm a bull, baby.
yes. So I am an Aquarius with an Aries moon and Scorpio rising.
All right.
I know.
Whatever the fuck that means.
I don't know, but that's what I am. And I, like I said, I took a picture.
You sure did. I'm very happy for you.
Okay. So according to this, you are a Taurus, obviously.
Obviously.
Aries moon.
Okay.
Just like me.
Yep.
And a Gemini rising.
Oh, Geminis are two-faced bitches. I can't remember who just said that it was that you're two-faced bitches. It was on another podcast. I was like, that's hilarious.
You do have a lot of Aries in you, though.
I know.
You're an Aries moon. Your Mercury is an Aries, and your Venus is an Aries.
God, you know that every person that listens to us is going to turn us off right now because okay, we are definitely not a Zodiac podcast.
We're definitely not a Zodiac podcast. And I was Googling this while we're talking, so we know nothing.
Yeah, we know nothing. anyways, this is the perfect, not at all, introduction into who we're going to be talking about today. All right, Amanda, before we play What's My Crime? I want to let everyone know, just so I don't forget, that we are heading back to the list that I basically live on. We're heading back to the most notorious list.
Yeah, we're back in our list era, not in our theme
in our
month
list
era.
Yeah. And this is going to be taken. This is the most notorious list from Arizona.
Excellent.
And it's going to be my first 2-part episode.
Woo woo!
All right. Sissy, with that being said, are you ready to play What's My Crime?
I'm ready. I'm excited.
This week and next week, I will be covering Jodi Arias.
Oh.
Do you know anything about her? What do you know, if anything?
I do know a bit about this case. Yep. I know very few details. I know that she is a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And she lies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And... she sucks.
So you know that she's a big, terrible person.
Yes. Wonderful. I don't actually think she's physically very big.
Who fucking cares? Anyway,
she's a big, terrible person. I just said physically, I don't think
sorry, she's a little terrible person. There, is that better?
She's a terrible person.
Also, I hate it, and I will address it later, but I'm also going to address it now. Mm-hmm. Every article says that she has a cute figure, and I hate it.
Ew.
I know, and I still use it because everyone else used it.
Sure. Question.
Ma'am.
We know that her name is Jodi Arias.
Mm-hmm.
Did anywhere pronounce it like Arias or anything like that?
It's Arias.
Like Arias.
Jodi Arias is the other way I've heard it pronounced. Why?
I was just curious. I was looking how it was written. I didn't know if people like... the emphasis on a weird syllable or something.
Yeah. I say Arias, and also I don't give a flying fuck about her, so I don't really care if it's pronounced correct or incorrect.
I like it. Keep going.
Okay, so this week I will be talking about Travis Alexander and Jodi Arias, their relationship, and Travis's murder. Okay. Next week I will be talking about her trial and everything she's been up to since then.
Excellent.
Trigger warning this week and next week is going to be murder. Mm-hmm. Sources this week include a wonderful two-part special on Snapped, mm-hmm. as well as articles from ABC News, All That's Interesting, Biography.com, Investigation Discovery, The Messenger News, and Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. And that's just for this week. I have totally different sources for next week.
I love it.
Well, not totally different, but there are different ones. Full disclosure, I watched the first episode of this Snap documentary, and then when I went back to watch the second part, I couldn't find it. So I only watched the first part of the wonderful two-part special on Snapped. Anyways.
Sometimes it'd be like that, truly.
It really be like that sometimes. Okay, are you ready, Sissy?
I am.
All right, here we go. Travis Victor Alexander was a California native born in the city of Riverside on July 28, 1977 to Gary and Pamela Alexander. Growing up, Travis had a terrible childhood, and I'm putting that like pretty nicely.
No, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. Travis learned how to take care of himself at a very early age. Travis's parents were addicted to drugs, specifically methamphetamine. They would leave his siblings and himself alone for days on end without food or water. And I read somewhere that they would eat like rotten food when they did have access to food, anything that they could get their hands on.
They were probably sick all the time.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
I know. It makes me so sad just to, I mean, I think Travis was like seven when this was all happening. And he's one of eight. Yeah. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, overall, they were very, very, very neglected children.
That's horrible.
Thankfully, I've seen age 10 and 11. I wrote at age 11. But Travis moved in with his paternal grandmother.
Okay.
Travis got to experience a stable home for the first time, but also experienced many changes in routine and cultural differences. Because Travis's grandmother was extremely religious and belonged to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, I thought he was Mormon.
Mm-hmm. It took me a very long time to realize that they were the same thing.
Yep, me too. It took me a while to make sure. Yeah, I probably wasn't until I started meeting actual Mormons.
Yeah, same.
That I like started to realize, oh, that's the same thing.
Yeah, same, same, same. Mm-hmm. So his seven siblings joined him in the move after the death of their father. He died on Travis's 20th birthday in July of 1997. So that's just a little background on Travis.
Do we know how he died? Was it drug related?
I thought it was a car accident. I didn't write it down. Okay. I believe it was a car accident.
Okay.
So that's just a little on Travis's background. Mm-hmm. A lot of it goes into more about his parents and then his grandma, but basically you need to know that he's Mormon.
Got it.
And he had a troubled childhood because that does kind of help with his career later.
Sure.
His seven siblings joined him in the move. Oh, sorry, I said that. So college wasn't really for Travis. So instead of going to college, he went on mission trips with his church.
Okay.
From this experience, he became more invested in the church and made his beliefs more concrete. Mm-hmm. Also during this time, Travis traveled a lot, but ultimately settled in Mesa, Arizona. I believe there was a big Mormon community, like population in Mesa.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah. So after his mission trip, Travis found a job that he would almost immediately thrive in. He started working at a company called Prepaid Legal Services. Prepaid Legal, or PPL, was a multi-level marketing company which sold legal subscription services. Hmm. Do you need to know what a legal subscription service is?
I actually do, but I also want to point out that the link between MLMs and Mormons is like if it was a Venn diagram, they'd be very, very overlapped.
Because what was the other one?
LuLaRoe.
Yes. One. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I was like, there is another one.
There's more.
Well, of course, like, of course.
Yeah, two of the big ones.
Oh, not Pyrex. What are the Pampered Chef? Isn't that Mormon?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like Utah in general is like overrun with MLMs.
Yeah.
And they target religious families, but Mormon families in particular, because generally wives don't work in the Mormon church.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So they target housewives who are bored during the day with, like, you can stay at home and make extra money for your family. And then they get sucked into these MLMs. Some of them are very successful. Most are not.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So sorry for the sidebar.
No, that's okay.
I do not know what prepaid legal services are.
So let me tell you then. Instead of paying for a lawyer by the hour, you pay a small monthly fee to get access to a lawyer that can advise you on a huge variety of issues without a huge bill.
That sounds fake.
Oh, no. Very real.
Oh, okay.
It is still around today, but it is now known under the name Legal Shield. I don't know why I said it that way, but...
I was laughing at the way you said it. Yeah, I thought you were going to be quoting a commercial or something.
I probably, honestly. But yeah, it's now known as Legal Shield.
Okay.
So Travis thrived at his job.
Yep.
You could say he was at the top of the pyramid.
No, oh, yikes. Okay. Yeah. Making good money?
Yeah. Very good money. He got into public speaking, made new friends, and was a large part of his community and church. Okay. And I mentioned mostly the public speaking because his story's kind of incredible. He went from living on the street. I believe he was homeless for a short period of time when he was obviously younger than 10 or 11.
Oh my God.
So, you know, kind of the come up that he has.
He would be the kind of story that they'd prey on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of his friends describe Travis as happy, outgoing, and quite the character. One of Travis's friends told Dateline that they were really good friends. And then the guy asking him the questions is like, oh, would you say best friends? And he's like, yeah, actually, me and numerous other people around this time of the Dateline episode would say that they were Travis's best friend. And that's just kind of the person Travis was. He made everyone feel like they were his best friend.
Oh.
Yeah, he was it sounded like he was a very, very, very sweet man.
Hmm.
Travis was happy at this point in his life. And that was until he met Jody Arias.
Okay.
Jody Ann Arias was born July 9th, 1980 in Salinas, California. She grew up in your average household that was semi-religious. On the outside, Jody's childhood was normal. She labeled it as almost ideal. Most of the people that knew the family often thought that they were perfect. In her school career, she was very smart and had a passion for school. But when Jody was in eighth or ninth grade, she was caught growing marijuana in her home by her parents.
What?
Yeah, in eighth or ninth grade.
Had a little middle school grow operation?
Yeah, apparently. And her parents made, as I think most would, a pretty fucking big deal about it.
Yeah, I would think so.
It was at that point that she really started to rebel against them and totally change from being kind of like a studious person to like, I will do everything against my parents.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jody continued to change in the following years, and she did end up dropping out of high school in 11th grade.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. So for a while after this, Jody worked as a part-time photographer, and she served in restaurants.
Okay.
In the fall of 2001, at a restaurant in California, she met Daryl Brewer, the restaurant's food and beverage manager, and they started dating in 2003.
Okay.
In September of 2006... Jody was looking for new opportunities, though. She wasn't making the money she was hoping to being a photographer or a server.
Okay.
So,
photography can be very lucrative, so she must not have been doing a very good job.
I don't know that I've seen any Jody Arias photos. Yeah, I don't know that I have. I'm not saying I haven't. There's a lot of what looks like she poses for herself. Almost like senior photos, but very cool. Lots of hugging trees.
Oh,
yeah, a lot of sepia. So, yeah,
okay. Wrong crowd, perhaps. So she was targeting.
Yeah, maybe. So in 2006, Jody was looking for new opportunities, and she found that opportunity with a network marketing company called Prepaid Legal Services.
Hmm.
Jody decided to go to their annual conference in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Ooh, Vegas, baby.
Right. And that is where she met Travis Alexander for the first time.
Mm, leave that poor man alone.
Leave everyone alone. Well, like, yeah. But this is where I think we should break for an ad.
Okay.
Hey, it's Lauren.
And Amanda.
And we host Most Wanted, a true crime podcast, and we have some exciting news for you.
Mark your calendars for July 12th to 14th, 2024. We're heading to the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival in Denver, Colorado, and you won't want to miss it.
Amanda and I attended the 2023 festival, and we are so excited about the changes coming in 2024. They've rolled out a podcast education track tailored to seasoned creators and those dreaming of launching their own podcast. This weekend isn't just about podcasts. It's about advocacy, ethics, and building a community.
Worried about costs? Don't worry about it. This festival is designed with you in mind, an affordable experience without sacrificing quality. There are no inflated costs, just a weekend packed with authenticity, education, and networking. Have you ever wished for genuine one-on-one interactions with your favorite creators? Well, now's your chance.
Don't miss out. Snag your tickets at truecrimepodcastfestival.com for an unforgettable experience. Join us and use code WANTED to let them know we sent you. See you there. Okay, so when we left off, Travis and Jody were meeting for the first time in September of 2006.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby. Travis was higher up in the company, and as I said earlier, he was at the top of the pyramid, mm-hmm. also known as the executive level.
Ooh.
I know. Fancy. I know. I was like, I would love to be at the executive level, and then I'm like, wait, no, pyramid. No. Got it.
Yeah,
no. During this annual conference, there was a special dinner on one of the nights for just the higher-ups in the company.
Ooh.
Travis would obviously be in attendance.
Obviously.
But it was customary to have a date.
Oh.
And Travis did not have a date.
Oh, no.
So he was talking with his friends and colleagues one night before this dinner about his lack of dates. Mm-hmm. And that's when one of his friends suggested that he take the new girl, Jody.
Oh, no.
And Travis jumped on the chance, and he asked for her number immediately. He called her up and asked if she would be his date to this executive dinner. And, as I've mentioned, Travis is kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was a no-brainer for Jody.
He was kind of a cutie, too, wasn't he?
He was very cute. Okay. Very 2006, with the spiked hair.
And the puka shells? Did he have puka shells?
I don't exactly remember, but just a big cutie. Probably the popped collars, like very, very cool. Oh, for
double popped collars, probably.
Probably. And I say that with like all the respect in the world, yeah. Because that was so cool. Time. Yeah.
It was a time.
Yeah. So Jody was very excited and accepted his invitation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
On the night of the big dinner, Travis was waiting with his friends for Jody to join them. And when he finally laid eyes on her, he was in awe of her beauty.
Oh, wow.
And Jody was stunning. She had long blonde hair, a cute figure. Yeah, but every article includes it. And like, I don't know what else to say. Like, got a hot bod. Like, you know, yeah. Everyone includes it. So
a cute figure.
Yep.
Do they mean a cute, like a less than 90 degree triangle?
Cute. Cute figure.
Oh, not.
Cute. But not only that, Jody was really friendly and she was funny.
Oh, I don't think I knew that Jody was funny.
I think when you find someone attractive, everything is funny.
Fair enough. That's fair. Yep.
That's how you flirt, I think.
Sure.
I don't know. I've never done it well. I bully my partner sometimes.
I mean, I'm making jokes at inopportune times more often than not.
Oh, yeah. Well, that does happen. So, Jody was a very sweet girl, and she and Travis had instant chemistry. During the dinner, they talked the whole time, and it seemed like she liked him as much as he liked her.
Oh, wow.
He was absolutely smitten with her.
Cute.
It is.
At this point in the story.
Yeah, it's very cute. I know. I hate it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The next morning, he told his friend Sky Hughes and her husband Chris that he and Jody stayed up all night talking, and it was wonderful.
Hmm.
He told them he had found his wife. Jody was the girl he wanted to marry.
Okay.
I know. I don't know. Maybe it's like I don't remember if it's the psychopath or the sociopath, but it has to be just like, I will
tell you whatever you want to hear, and I will get my little claws into you as fast as possible.
Yeah, for sure. And Travis was about 30, going on 30.
Let's see. This is, yeah. Like this is 06, 28 or 29. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that would make sense because Mormons generally marry quite young.
Mm-hmm.
So he was probably,
I think she's 3 years younger than him. So she's 25. So that totally makes sense.
So yeah, he probably is feeling like, I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah. I should have been maybe married. I should have
been married already.
Yeah. Because so Sky and Chris are basically the only two friends that I name.
Okay.
I do name a couple more, but they're talked about pretty consistently throughout. Mm-hmm. They're also Mormon, and it sounds like they've been together for a very long time. So if Travis is like really good friends with them, they're already married. He probably is like, I got to do this like yesterday.
I recall that. So a lot of times Mormons will do their mission, like their 2 weeks or 2 weeks, 2 years abroad after high school and then go to college after that. Not always, but often.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, if they're graduating college at like 24-ish and they haven't met their spouse, they're like panicked.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that Travis was probably like, why isn't like people around him like, why isn't that guy married? Is something wrong with him?
Yeah.
Like,
maybe.
Why doesn't he have a wife?
Yeah.
I'm sure there was pressure.
Oh, I'm sure there was. It's never mentioned anywhere, but I'm sure. Yeah. That didn't even occur to me that, yeah, he's almost 30 years old and yeah, but. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, gotta procreate more Mormons.
Oh, God. So after the convention, Travis and Jody went their separate ways because he lived in Arizona and she lived in California.
Yep.
But the two stayed in contact.
Okay.
They traveled to see each other pretty often, and they also traveled together to popular sites in the Southwest. Like, I think there's like a hot air balloon thing down.
There is in New Mexico.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they were there. I've seen a couple pictures. Grand Canyon, I think, was one of them that I've seen pictures. So when it says popular sites from the Southwest, I think
Hoover Dam.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know where that is.
It's on the border of Arizona.
Oh, okay. Sure. Then yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
Big damn people. So Jody really liked to document their time together, and she posted a lot of it on social media.
With her photography camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Travis told his friends he was beginning to develop very deep feelings for Jody. Oh, okay. He even wrote an email to his friend Sky saying, I went from intrigued by her to interested in her to caring about her deeply to realizing how lucky I would be to have her as my part as a part of my life forever. She is amazing.
Oh, wow.
It is not hard.
I think I knew he.
Oh, yeah.
That hard.
Oh, yeah. It is not hard to see that whoever scores Jody, whether it be me or someone else, is going to win the wife lotto. I know.
These are kind of haunting things to
hear. I know.
Knowing what is going to happen.
I know. At this point, though, they are still just friends, just getting to know each other.
Sure. Some wind out
there. It's very windy out. Yeah. I'm probably gonna have to leave some of that in. So they're still just friends getting to know each other, and I'm pretty sure Jody is still currently dating Daryl at this time.
I was gonna ask about Daryl.
Yeah.
Okay.
He comes up like in trial later a little bit. That's the only really reason I mention him, because if I said it later, you'd be like, "Who the fuck is that?" This is who she was dating when she met Travis,
the manager of the restaurant she used to work for.
Yes.
Yes.
She doesn't break up with Daryl until like December of 2006. And right now it's, I think, October.
Jody.
Yep. Jody's awful. Awful.
Does Travis know about Daryl?
I don't think Travis cared about Daryl. I don't know if he knew about him or not, but.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't, whatever.
Okay.
There was kind of a big problem, though. Travis was really involved in his faith, and Jody wasn't Mormon.
Correct.
Which is a deal breaker for Travis, and I think a lot of Mormons.
Yep, most. Yeah,
because
generally the only way it's a true marriage in the Mormon church is if you get married in a temple, and people who are not part of the Mormon church cannot go inside the temple.
You know a lot about Mormonism.
I know a lot of Mormons now. I am a curious person, so I ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's fair. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm.
So about a month into their friendship, the two started having a physical relationship. Ooh. Which is breaking one of the most important tenets of the Mormon faith.
It is.
So this is kind of long, but it's, I think it's important for people that don't know Mormons, apparently like you do. According to Colleen McDaniel, a professor of religious studies at the University of Utah, she told 2020 that for Mormons, sex and sexual activity outside of the bounds of marriage is forbidden. The law of chastity basically says your body is a sacred space. Your body was given to you by God. It's not just yours. It's not just your decision to do with it what you will. God has given this to you and you must respect it. And Latter-day Saints believe that because marriage is so important and so intense and sexuality is so much a part of that, that you need to preserve those sexual expressions for your spouse. So before you marry and after you marry, you have to keep yourself sexually pure. Mm-hmm.
You can get kicked out of the Mormon church for breaking that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I've heard of some people who like cheated on their spouse who got kicked out of the Mormon church.
Okay, that I understand. But having sex before marriage, you can get
before
kicked out?
Before marriage, not, I don't think, because usually they're very young at that point.
That's true.
So I think that they probably wouldn't be kicked out for that, but I've definitely like affairs. People have been kicked out of the Mormon church for having affairs.
Oh, God. Being true to his religion was incredibly important to Travis, and the guilt he felt about their relationship really started to weigh on him. Mm. But he also really liked having sex with Jody.
Yeah. So there's another, so this is maybe TMI a little bit, so maybe cut this if you want. A lot of Mormons go around this.
Soaking?
No.
Okay.
By doing butt stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like they just don't have sex that could produce children.
Yeah.
And that's their interpretation of this, which when you just read it to me, it doesn't sound like that's what that means.
No.
But that's the interpretation, is like, as long as we can't get pregnant, no one ever has to know. And they do other types of intercourse.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
No, and I bet Travis did enjoy having sex with Jody.
So around this same time, Travis confided in his friends that he believed Jody was a nymphomaniac.
Oh boy.
And that he was really struggling with how to handle that.
It'd be hard to have that kind of pressure too.
Oh God, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
At this point, he has not owned up to the fact to any of his friends that they had started having a physical relationship. Oh, man. But she does send him dirty texts and some nudes, I'm assuming. Yeah. So I don't know this. I would guess. I mean, I think Jody's just a piece of fucking shit.
Yeah.
But I would guess that if this is the first person he's ever had sex with, he probably does think she's a nympho, because it's like, oh my God.
Because it's like a normal sex life.
Yeah.
For someone, like, because he's not married, so he wouldn't know. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But
and they're like in their 20s.
Yeah. I mean, she's 25, 26, he's 28, 29. I'm sure he's like,
man, so, she wants it all the time.
And it's just like, yeah.
Every time they see each other.
Yeah, right. So I don't actually know that. That is just an assumption, because.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Travis, still to this point, did not call Jody his girlfriend because she wasn't Mormon. But he did instead. He read to her from the Book of Mormon and he shared his faith with her a lot.
Okay.
And on November 26, 2006, Jody Arias was baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by Travis.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. She converted to Mormonism? Mm-hmm.
She sure did.
Well, that's a plot twist I wasn't expecting.
Later, a friend of Jody's was interviewed and said this wasn't the first time that Jody had done something like this. She would totally readjust her life to fit the person that she was, quote unquote, dating.
It's really weird.
She's unhinged.
It's really weird. Yeah.
So following her baptism, the two continued to see each other as regularly as possible.
Okay.
When they weren't together physically, they were in constant communication between texting, phone calls, and emails. In the course of their relationship, they exchange over 80,000 emails in a year and a half. Yeah.
80,000 emails.
That's insane.
I
email you like three times every time I see you.
And there's no way it's close to 80,000.
There's no way.
I have too many emails in my inbox, and I have 5,000 emails in my inbox.
Mm-hmm.
80,000?
80,000. Well, I think it was like actually closer to 82, but I rounded down.
Like, are they sending emails like they do in the 50 Shades books where the whole message is in the subject line and they're just like, there's nothing else? Like, are they like texting but an email?
I have no idea. I was kind of thinking the same thing. I assumed text, but everywhere said emails.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start emailing you every time I want to ask you a question?
Absolutely not. I will not respond. And I will figure out how to block people from Gmail. Which would be very, very, very detrimental to our business if I block your email.
So many email addresses that I could email you from.
You would too. Like,
you're like, why aren't you answering me?
Hello? So, again, not dating. These two are not dating.
80,000 emails.
Yes. And there is now a different major holdup for them to become officially in a relationship.
Okay.
Yes. Jody was now Mormon.
Uh-huh.
But she wasn't the type of Mormon that Travis wanted to marry.
Yeah, she wasn't practicing, I'm sure.
Well, he wanted a pure woman.
Oh, okay. That's kind of shitty.
So by Jody and Travis having sex, she had essentially taken herself out of the running to be his wife. But he never told her that.
See, okay. There's a lot of Jody that I think is real shitty.
Yes.
That's pretty shitty of Travis.
I do agree. But
it's probably a lot of pressure from the church and stuff. There's probably a lot more to it.
Yeah. So like, it's funny to me that obviously when he first met her, he said like, this woman is the wife Lotto. And then he's like, I'm going to bang you. No more wife Lotto for me. You know, yeah. It's just like, it's
like
very...
you're out of the running now that we've already done this.
Yeah. It's like,
oh man,
it's taking it for the test drive and then being like, no, yep. Thank you.
I wonder a little bit trying to think like someone who would be in that situation might think. I wonder if he's like, if you're so willing to have sex with me and you're a nymphomaniac, how many other people have you had sex with? And maybe that's part of his pure woman thing.
Maybe. That very well could be.
I kind of hate that, though.
I don't like it, but
yeah,
honestly.
We don't victim blame here, but I don't like that.
I don't like it either, but Jody can fuck off. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like
the fact that it happened to Jody, I don't really care about, but I do agree it's a very shitty move.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, even though Jody didn't know, they continued to have sex regularly, and just in private, he really battled with it.
And she's probably just waiting for the ring.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
So, Travis admitted to his friends that he was infatuated with Jody, and finally, in February of 2007, they officially began dating.
Okay.
Yeah. After they made
such a long time.
After they made their relationship official, Travis's friends found Jody's behavior to grow a bit concerning.
Oh, tell me more.
She seemed obsessed with him. Like,
I'm sure she was.
Since they were still living long distance from each other, they usually met up halfway at Chris and Sky Hughes's home.
I bet Chris and Sky loved that.
This is what I don't really understand.
Okay.
They aren't sleeping in the same bed.
Wink.
Well, they can't. Well, maybe they could be. I don't know. I assume they weren't sleeping in the same bed since
one of them is sneaking into the other one's room at night.
Oh, it's definitely Jody. Whether he wants it or not, she's going in there.
Oh, anyway, yeah.
But yeah. So one weekend, Sky and Chris recalled some weird behavior on Jody's part.
Okay.
The four of them were all out in the hot tub relaxing. And in the middle of conversation, Jody decided that was the great time to climb right into Travis's lap, straddle him, and start sucking on his neck while they were all in the hot tub together. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So,
and this is probably my favorite line of my whole script.
Oh,
and it's a quote.
Me. Okay.
Sky recalls this event and said she was all over him, like eighth graders whose parents were out of town.
Oh my God.
Which honestly, that just shows the immaturity of both of them to me.
It really paints a picture.
Yeah. But,
and like Chris and Sky have been married for years now, I would assume.
I think so. I don't actually know, so but they're probably just like. But, yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, and I don't think they know that they were having sex, so that's really weird behavior.
Oh, I didn't even think of that part. Yeah, they probably don't know they're having sex.
No, I don't think so.
Oh my gosh.
But
secret lovers in the nighttime.
Yeah, very secret. Surprisingly, not at all. Travis was super embarrassed and kept trying to push her off of him.
That's not surprising at all.
Could you imagine? Just like,
no.
What are you doing? Like, get off of me.
There's, God, I feel like it's one of like the scary movies or something, but something like this is happening and the girl keeps getting shoved off and you just see like her legs flying around. Yeah. Like, it's supposed to, it's like a parody movie, you know?
Yeah, it's one of the scary movies.
Yeah,
that's what I think of, is like her legs
like flopping around.
So, but this was just kind of the way that things progressed during their relationship.
Oh boy.
Jody was from then on described as being overly touchy, possessive, and protective.
Hmm.
There was a different night that Travis had friends from the church over to his house and they're all baking in his kitchen. And Jody kept referring to Travis as her man and how this was going to be her house someday. I mean, they've been dating for like 2 months.
Yikes.
And I'm sure all of his church friends were like, what the fuck, you weird ass hoe?
Yeah.
Whatever Mormons so, say.
What, remember the month that the conference in Vegas was?
September. And they started dating in February.
This is like April?
It's pretty early. I mean, spoiler alert, they only date for 5 months.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that would be nuts. Keep going.
I can't even imagine, but... I'm going to post it. I've recently found a picture of Jody. She's wearing a gray t-shirt. I'm pretty sure it's gray. And it just says Travis Alexander's. That is all her shirt says.
Like, possessive?
Yep.
It's weird behavior. That's weird behavior. Can you? Should I get you one of those shirts?
Don't you
that
dare.
Just says your boyfriend's name with an apostrophe S.
Don't you dare. First of all, he'll throw it out. And then I will also throw it out again. I'll take it out of the trash and throw it away again. So this behavior obviously continued. Mm-hmm. And anytime they were in a group setting, she was almost always sitting on his lap or was right next to him.
It's weird.
She also did not appreciate when he would talk to other females. So she doesn't like him talking to other females, but like he's a part of this Mormon community. He is a public speaker.
Yeah.
Of course, people talk to him that are females.
And his job in an MLM, I'm sure there's a fair number of female employees.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But the fact that Sky Hughes is his like best female friend.
Oh, that would cause problems for Jody.
But I mean, her and Jody must have kind of been friends if Sky's allowing her to stay at her house on these weekend trips to see each other.
Be in their hot tub with them, apparently.
Well, yes. But Jody did not like that they were friends at all. Which is like,
when a friendship predates the relationship, usually
get the fuck over
you
it.
Have to let that go. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
And like the super cool, calm, collected girlfriend Jody was, she always wanted to know what they would be talking about. So Jody would go through his phone, read his emails, read his texts, and I'm sure his call log as well.
Oh my God.
She would forward herself some emails that he would receive from other women. Just
yo,
so
you can see that.
Yep.
Like he could know, he would know that if he looked.
Yeah, he would. He doesn't seem to be seeing it. He seems to be totally blinded by love at this point.
Okay. I just can't imagine. I can get into my husband's email account.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine forwarding myself emails from that account and him being like, that's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go with 2007, maybe
I don't know. Ugh. I'm just going with his 2007. That's all I got.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know. But she really did not, Jody did not like the fact that there was anyone ever that did not know that they were together. Mm. So as their relationship continued,
Hence the shirt, I would assume.
I think so.
Yeah.
And as Travis's friends got to know her better, they did not like Jody. She was actually starting to creep them out.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Like, so much to the point that when Travis would get a text in front of her, she would read it over his shoulder. When he would answer a call and leave the room, Jody would just follow him.
What?
And even when Travis would get up to go to the bathroom, Jody would essentially go and stand outside and just wait for him to come out.
Of the bathroom.
Oh, what are you doing in there?
You know how long men can sometimes be in the bathroom.
But it's like, your dog's my cat. What you doing in there? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Can I get in?
But it's like, again, she's a full human. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, my dogs are always going to be like, why is the door closed?
Right.
But like, they're dogs.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, you know what he's doing in there. Stop it.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop it.
And like, again, men sometimes spend 20 to 30 minutes in the bathroom.
So much time.
Like, you're going to stand out there the whole time? You know what he's doing in there.
My feet would start to hurt.
Right?
Oh, gotta bring a chair. You need to have like
orthopedic shoes on for that.
Bring a chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Bring that one from outside in the sun. You always talk about?
Oh, definitely the metal chair. Woo! Yeah.
Bring it right outside that bathroom door.
Yep. We'll have to get her like one of those sun lights so that it's still the same effect. But
vitamin D lamp.
So one of these weekends that they were all staying at the Hughes' residence, Sky and Chris decided they needed to talk to Travis about Jody's weird behavior.
Totally fair.
Her stalker-like qualities, if you will.
How on earth would they ever have a conversation with him without Jody?
Girl, let me tell you.
Okay.
So they sat him down in a room separate from Jody with the door closed. They told him they were worried about him. They thought she could potentially be dangerous.
Yeah.
And Travis just kind of brushed them off because she was great in his eyes. Like, truly, he seemed to not know what she was doing.
Ugh.
During this conversation, Sky recalls hearing something outside of the room, and she got a frightening, like, cold feeling that
Jody
was outside of their closed door.
Oh, my
God. And when Travis opened the door to check, he found Jody standing on the other side of the door with an evil look on her face. There was rage in her eyes.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh. So at this point, from this point forward, both Sky and Chris were scared of Jody. Sky even said she believed Jody would be capable of burning her house down with
them. Whoa!
Like, okay. They really, really, really saw Jody for who she was from the get-go.
Props to them, honestly.
So
it's too bad that they couldn't.
I know.
Stop
I know
what's going to happen.
So it's probably no surprise to anyone that after 5 months together, Travis broke up with Jody.
Yeah. Did he actually tell her, like, I'm never going to marry you because we're already doing the dirty?
Nope. Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
But a couple weeks after he broke up with her, Jody decided it was time for a move. So she moved to Mesa, Arizona.
Why?
All of his friends essentially freaked the fuck out.
I bet they did.
And this is when Jody actually turned into a stalker.
Mm.
Jody did this really cute thing where she would just show up at his house. She knew his garage code, so she would just let herself in.
I don't like that at all.
After a time or two of that, Travis did change his garage code.
I was going to ask if he like changed his locks or something to keep himself safe.
Well, it really did not matter. So, after the garage code was changed, Jody did the next best normal thing.
Oh, God.
She crawled into his house through his doggy door.
What?
Yes.
Follow-up question. What kind of dog does he have?
I don't know, but it was a good boy. I've seen it a bunch of places. I did not collect it to memory. I'm sorry.
Hmm. Well.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, that goes back to Jody's cute figure, though, that she could fit through a doggy door.
I know.
Watch me try to get through a doggy door. Not happening.
My shoulders won't fit, I'll tell you
right
now.
That's what I was going to say. My shoulders wouldn't fit.
Yep, right now, shoulders won't fit.
No.
So one day, Travis walked into his living room and Jody was just sleeping on his couch. Another time, he found her hiding behind his Christmas tree.
What?
I can only picture it in my head. And it's that she's busted, so she's trying to hide.
That's like a kid. Yeah. Or like a dog who thinks he's in trouble, so he's hiding like halfway behind a couch or the blinds or something. What? We keep comparing her to dogs. This isn't great.
Well, dogs are wonderful. Jody sucks.
Dogs are wonderful.
So when she would spring these random visits on him, unwelcome visits,
yeah,
he would have one of two reactions.
Okay.
First, he'd get mad and make her leave.
Sure.
And the second, they would have sex.
What now?
Yeah.
That's like, ugh. That's like rewarding her bad behavior.
But again,
we're not victim blaming, but just like that.
This
sucks
is the,
because...
but like, have you ever been in a toxic relationship?
Yeah.
They pull you back in.
They
every
do.
Time.
They do.
Every time.
Yeah.
They, you know, you're already, they've already manipulated you to some point that.
Yep. Yep. I hate this.
So while this was going on,
mm-hmm.
Travis started dating another woman from church. Lisa.
Oh, Lisa.
And Jody was pissed.
Of course. Lisa doesn't get hurt, does she?
No. Okay. No.
Okay.
Probably traumatized, but not hurt.
Okay.
So Jody decided to retaliate, and she slashed the tires on Travis's BMW twice.
Travis drives a BMW? Okay.
Girl, top of the pyramid!
All right.
Sometimes Jody would even torment Lisa. She found out where Lisa lived and would go up to her house at night and bang on the windows and doors just to scare her.
That's horrible.
Like I said, probably
traumatized,
but not physically hurt that I know of. Never saw anything that physically happened to Lisa.
Jody's unhinged.
She's absolutely unhinged. Travis could never prove that it was actually Jody slashing his tires or tormenting Lisa, but
sure.
They had their suspicions.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in April of 2008, after stalking Travis and his friends for 8 months, Jody moved back to California.
Okay.
Yreka, California, more specifically, to live with her grandparents.
Okay.
Finally, Travis was relieved and excited. He said, "I'm getting my life back. Like, this is a whole new start. She's gone."
But is she?
However, it's not that easy to cut off those relationships, as I was saying.
Well, and stalking behavior, Travis wouldn't really be able to do anything about that.
No.
Like, stalkers are away. And generally, law enforcement is the only thing that can potentially stop a stalker.
Right.
Ugh, it's actually, stalkers are terrifying.
Stalkers are terrifying. That and froggers.
I don't know what that means.
Froggers are people that live in your house when you don't know it. Live in your crawl spaces, live in your basements, live in your walls.
That's a thing?
Yeah, Danny, I think, is LaPlante. We'll talk about this off air. I don't have time.
Okay.
Yep. So, unbeknownst to his friends, Travis and Jody were still communicating pretty regularly.
Mm.
They would have phone sex. Mm. Sometimes they'd meet up and have actual sex.
Mm.
But, as I said, he was not disclosing this information to anyone else.
No.
It wasn't something they even really found out about until much later.
Okay.
Travis's brother described Jody as being kryptonite.
Mm.
This was...
She's got that cute figure.
I knew you were going to bring it back up, and I didn't even mean it like that.
I also hate that phrase, by the way.
I was like, I understand you're saying that she's petite, but just say she's petite.
Right. You don't have to, like, cute figure is so gross.
It's so gross.
Yeah.
But this was his first real, like, physical relationship, and it was something he had never been a part of before, so breaking up stuff like that is tough.
It is. Yeah.
At some point during the 8 months of Jody living in Mesa, Travis's friends told him that they were genuinely concerned about Jody's behavior.
Yeah.
It was escalating. It was scary for them. And Sky even told him, "Travis, I'm afraid we're going to find you chopped up in her freezer."
Ugh.
So again, they knew.
Oh yeah, they knew. They knew what she was like.
But again, if not, and like the kryptonite thing, I kind of understand more. It's like no matter what, she's got this hold on him.
Mm-hmm.
And oh yeah.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
So in May of 2008, although the reasons are unclear, I couldn't find what happened. It doesn't really matter. But GChat and text messages revealed that the two were in the middle of a big fight. At one point, Travis wrote, "You don't know what horror you have caused me." "It wasn't really my intention to harm you," she responded. He later called her a sociopath and the lowest of low.
Whoa.
So in June of 2008,
mm-hmm.
Travis Alexander's friends were really beginning to worry.
Yeah.
They were having trouble getting a hold of him. He was days away from heading to Cancun for a work trip.
Mm.
A couple of his friends, Chris and Sky, mm-hmm. were already in Cancun, and they couldn't get a hold of him to finalize plans. Excursions, dinners, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
They left him numerous messages, all of which had gone unanswered.
What date is it? Like, around what time?
You said it. It's June 8th or 9th.
2008?
Yes.
Okay.
2008.
Okay.
So then Travis did something he would never do. As always, you know, it's so out of character when you tell these stories.
Yep.
He missed a work conference call that he was supposed to be leading.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't have done that.
No.
Like, just from what we know about him, he wouldn't have done that.
Right. That's when Chris and Sky left him one more voicemail. Chris said his message to Travis went like this. I said, "T-Dog, you better be dead, bro. Call me back. Why are you dissing me? Why aren't you calling me back?" And of course, now looking back on it, he never actually thought he was dead.
Oh my God, that probably haunts him.
Yeah, I mean, he was
saying that. Oh,
I can't remember if it was snapped or whatever I saw it on, but he was like, I didn't mean it.
Of course not.
Yeah, and that's when Chris turned to his wife, though, and said, "Something's wrong."
Yeah.
Yeah. While this was all happening from Cancun, a very similar experience was happening to Travis's friends who were still at home.
Okay.
Travis's new girlfriend, Mimi Hall, who was going...
Oh, we're not with Lisa anymore.
No, that's why I said, like, there's not much about Lisa, but except for that she was tormented. And honestly, she probably said, "Bye, Travis."
Probably. Like, "I don't want this lady in my life."
Correct.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't know that, but that's a guess I'm taking.
Yep.
So Travis's new girlfriend, Mimi Hall, who was actually going with him to Cancun, she couldn't get in contact with him either.
Oh, no.
She was also trying to finalize all their travel plans, details.
Sure. Yep.
It had actually been a few days since she had been in contact with him. Mm. And after 5 days of messages from friends and colleagues, his mailbox was officially full. All of the calls went unanswered and unreturned.
I would never make it. Okay. This is me, perhaps. If my boyfriend hadn't answered me within 24 hours, I would be over there.
100%.
I would never make it 5 days.
I don't know. Obviously, I know that they were dating, but I don't know what kind of relationship
fair
they had where it's like, do you guys talk every day? I don't know.
I mean, cell phones weren't what they are now.
That's either. True. That's very true.
My flip phone in 2008 sometimes couldn't even send the messages. So.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Didn't have service. That was pretty common back then, too.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So by June 9th, Mimi and two other friends of Travis's decided to go to his house to figure out what the heck was going on. So around 10 p.m. that evening, the three arrived at Travis's home.
10 p.m.?
Mm-hmm. Well, so this is, I have conflicting information on this. One source says that they originally all went together. Another source says Mimi went by herself, no one into the door. Then she called Travis's two friends who had his garage code.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming by just time, it's probably the second one. I don't know that because I saw both.
Either would make sense. I just felt like it's pretty late.
It's very late. I will also not be answering the door.
Hmm.
Also, if someone rings my door after like 5 p.m., not answering.
My dogs would go nuts.
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
But when they got there, they let themselves in and they ran into one of Travis's roommates, Zach Billings. He was like,
Wait a second.
He was watching a movie. It says that he was like totally, he had no idea that they were trying to get in.
But Travis had a roommate?
He has two, I believe.
So Jody wasn't just stalking Travis. She was essentially stalking his roommates, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they asked him if they had heard from Travis in the last few days, and he responded, no, he was in Mexico for a work trip.
Oh, no.
And that's when Mimi stepped in and said, nope, he couldn't be there already. I'm going with him, and we're leaving tomorrow. And Travis has been radio silent for about 5 days.
Oh, my God.
So they put all these pieces together. No one has seen or heard from Travis in the past 5 days. Zach then brought them up to Travis's bedroom, the primary bedroom. Travis owned this house. It was a 5-bed, 3-bath, 3,600 square foot beauty.
That's a big house.
Yeah, I don't know why 3,600 square foot beauty really tripped me up, but it did.
Huh.
It's a very big house. I've seen pictures of this house. It's beautiful.
I bet.
Again, top of the pyramid.
Yeah, Mesa too. Like, that's a nice.
Mm-hmm. But also, he does have two roommates, so that.
Yeah, so they're paying part of his mortgage. Yeah.
Now I'm worried that he might have more than two roommates. Anyways, I know that he has at least one roommate in it is Zach Billings. That's all.
Okay.
Now I'm worried. As they got closer to Travis's door, they started to notice a smell that got stronger the closer they got.
Oh, no.
Zach had a key to Travis's room, and the four of them went inside. Once Zach opened the door, all of their fears came true in front of their eyes. The smell of decay was brutal.
Ugh.
It was clear something horrible had happened to Travis. So they opened the door into a horrible scene, and just inside the door there was a semicircle of blood that had soaked into the carpet. And the bed had been stripped. The only light on in the room was coming from the connected primary bathroom. Zach followed a bloody trail down the hall from the bedroom to the bathroom. So, I only say this because I kind of have to explain about this room. You walk in, there's a bathroom and like a walk-in closet in the bedroom. So,
okay.
Once you walk into this main door, that's all inside. So, you can basically live in this room. And the only thing that you don't have is a kitchen. Like, it's pretty big.
Okay.
So, Zach followed the bloody trail down the hall from the bedroom to the bathroom. There was blood on the floor, walls, and sink in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
It was very clear to everyone that there was a brutal attack that took place in this room. And then Zach discovered Travis's mutilated body crumpled in the bottom of his shower. I'm sorry. I say it in like a couple sentences, but I'll say it now. Like trigger warning, just trigger warning for brutal, yeah. Horrible things.
I remember this being pretty brutal.
Yeah. So his friends called 911.
Mm-hmm.
Through tears, Mimi told the dispatcher that a friend of theirs was found dead in his bedroom. The dispatcher asked what had happened. She said she had no idea. She gave the phone to Zach because Zach was the only person to walk down and find him.
Mm-hmm.
Zach said he had no idea what had happened, but it was really bad. And then the dispatcher says, if you're in the house, I need you outside immediately. So they went outside.
Mm-hmm.
As they're all walking outside, Zach says everyone has been trying to get a hold of him and wondering about him for a few days.
Okay. Do you think it haunts Zach a little bit that he was living in that house?
Probably. I don't know, though. I haven't really seen much about Zach.
I'm sure he doesn't want to be in the spotlight about it, but like that would stick with me.
Absolutely.
That would be horrifying.
So after getting police en route, the dispatcher asked if they knew if he had issues with anyone recently, to which Mimi responded, yes, he has. He has an ex-girlfriend who's been bothering him. Her name is Jody Arias.
Wow.
When Mesa Police Detective Esteban Flores arrived on the scene, he said, quote, the first thing that I thought was there was a major struggle in here. That this was deeply personal. Somebody knew him. Somebody wanted him dead.
Wow.
Somebody wanted to make sure he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is very graphic. I'd say skip ahead like a minute.
Okay.
Authorities later determined that Travis Alexander had been dead for days. He had been stabbed at least 27 times.
Whoa.
His throat had been slit from ear to ear so deeply that he was nearly decapitated.
Oh my God.
And he was shot in the head.
What? I didn't know he was shot in the head, too.
I believe, like, right above one of his eyebrows.
Oh, my God. Like, okay.
Like, awful. But Travis put up one hell of a fight. His hands were covered in defensive wounds.
Okay.
A search of the scene brought several pieces of evidence forward, which would help identify Travis's killer. On the wall of the bedroom, they located a bloody handprint. In the bathroom, several long dark hairs and a .25 caliber shell casing. And finally, the biggest piece of evidence, found in the washing machine, mixed in with towels and underwear, they found a digital camera.
That's my favorite part of the story. I remember the camera.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know that she was a photographer, which just makes this hilarious.
Oh my God. You know, I never even put that together.
No.
Like, I never once put that together. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. So they later found out that Travis bought this camera specifically for his trip to Cancun.
Oh, yes. No.
I know. So later, the camera had been through a wash cycle, so it was damaged, but the memory card inside was still intact. Pictures on the card were accessed, and they didn't find anything that would help their case. But they did happen to find a file that had recently been of recently deleted photos. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that had been damaged. Okay. So they'd have to send it to the tech team, and it was going to take a little bit of time to uncover the deleted photos.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, they started looking into Travis and what's been going on in his life leading mm-hmm. up to this. More specifically, they wanted to look into his relationship with the woman named in the 911 call, Jody Arias.
Jody Arias.
Just as the detectives were trying to track Jody down to get a hold of her, she beat them to the punch. Within hours of Travis's body being found, Jody called the police to ask about the case.
Wait. Was it made public?
I believe she heard through work.
Okay.
Yeah, so work trip going to Cancun.
Sure.
People find out. Okay. I'm assuming, sure. I think she heard through PPL. She told the detective on the case, Esteban Flores, that she and Travis were really good friends. She had heard what had happened through work and was wondering if they needed any help with the case or if they had any updates.
Were they like, we actually could use some help, Jody?
Yeah, basically. Jody also told the detectives during this phone call that she had spoken briefly with Travis on the day that he was killed because she was driving to Utah to see a new guy she was dating, Ryan Burns.
That sounds like a fake name.
Oh, Ryan's real.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, poor Ryan. He just gets dragged in this and he does not deserve it. Poor guy.
Poor Ryan.
I actually don't know anything about him except for this, but I don't think he deserves this.
But like, did he deserve to be involved in this at all?
No.
Yeah, no. No one would.
No. So during this conversation, Detective Flores told Jody that she had called it almost the perfect time because her name had come up quite a few times during the investigation. He told her people had said, you're a stalker and you're the ex-girlfriend that would never leave Travis alone.
They told her that?
Oh, yeah. Detective Flores is like, I don't have time for your shit, babe. And her response is pretty typical. She couldn't believe Travis's friends would say something like that about her. But most importantly, she hasn't seen Travis since she moved from Mesa in April.
Lie.
She did tell Detective Flores that they did date, but their breakup was amicable and they broke up over a year ago.
Lie.
And she is super cool with them just being friends. And it works out way better for both of them because she's with Ryan Burns now. And he also works for Prepaid Legal. And she and Travis are just friends. So it's totally cool.
Why?
It's fine. It's fine.
I feel like I'm hitting like a buzzer every time you're talking about a Jody lie. Lie, lie, lie.
Should we just get one every time? Yeah. False.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Lie, lie, lie. I'd have to tell you the Natalie Holloway story again if we had one of those buzzers.
I know.
Because you would never get through it without just being like, lie, lie, lie.
People would think it's because we're swearing. Nope, it's just all the lies we're that we're told. Like,
these are all the lies that we're told.
Oh, she tells maybe not as many lies, but pretty close to Joran. Joran? Joran.
Either way.
Okay. So then Jody offered to help Detective Flores out.
Mm-hmm.
She offered her fingerprints, DNA, and anything to prove that she hadn't seen Travis since she moved from Mesa in April.
Did they ask her for a handprint?
Just hang on.
Okay.
The detectives were thrilled.
They'd love for her to come and provide all of those things.
Absolutely.
So Jody agreed to meet with them when she came back to town for Travis's funeral. Also, I can't even fucking imagine that she went to this funeral. Like, that never once occurred to me until I was doing this research. Bitch.
Yeah. Right?
Bitch.
I guess it's got to be kind of part of an alibi almost.
I know. So on June 17th, 2008, Jody did just that. She voluntarily went to the Mesa Police Department, was fingerprinted, gave a DNA sample, and was very talkative about how much she missed Travis. And more importantly, with her new faith, she believed she'd see him again. I fucking hate her.
Jody. Oh my God.
The detectives thanked her for everything, and
they're probably sitting there like, the fuck did we just hear?
yeah, no kidding. They thanked her for everything, and they sent the samples to the lab because, as you brought up, they had something to compare it to.
Yep.
At this point, they knew that the bloody handprint was a mixture of Travis's blood and someone else's blood.
Okay. Did she have any healing wounds?
That's next week. You calm down, ma'am.
I'm so sorry.
You calm down. In the meantime, the tech department had been working on the deleted photos from the camera, and they had recovered them.
Yes.
The deleted photos they found were shocking.
Oh.
The photos were timestamped from June 4th around 1 p.m., and there was a series of them.
Oh.
These photos were naked photos of Jody Arias and Travis Alexander. It was pretty obvious in the photos that they had recently had sex, and the photos were pretty graphic.
I just have a question. When it says it was pretty obvious in the photos they had sex, what does that mean?
I do believe she's kind of spread eagle titties out.
Okay.
On his bed, and I do believe that there's one where she's like bent over and like the
butt out?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which now that goes back to the anal thing. It doesn't matter. Well, we cover all that next week. Don't worry about it.
Okay, okay, okay.
So the recovered images showed Jody laying naked in sexually provocative positions on Travis's bed. Then there were a few more photos timestamped around 5 p.m., and those photos were of Travis in the shower. They were posed photos of him taking a shower, and then there was three that appeared to be taken accidentally. It appeared that the photos were action shots, like the camera had been dropped. Oh. So, graphic. Skip ahead about a minute.
I can't skip. I'm here with you.
I know. So, one was a motion shot of the camera falling. The next was what appeared to be a figure laying on the ground, bleeding profusely, and you can see a foot in the picture as well, and it's clearly someone standing over him.
Oh my God.
And the third was an accidental shot of Travis's dead body crumpled in the bottom of his shower.
Oh my God.
So now, not only did they have her given DNA, they also had time-stamped photos of Jody Arias at the scene of the crime on the day Travis was murdered.
I mean, and a recorded statement, I'm assuming, even if it was just handwritten, notes of her lying, saying right. She hadn't seen him
right.
in months.
Right. Based on the photos, why did I write? Okay, well, whatever. Based on the photos, Jody was lying about not seeing Travis since April of 2008.
A lying liar.
Lying liar who lies.
Yes.
This also proves that Jody was the last person who had contact with Travis prior to his death.
Yes. And by contact, you do mean death contact.
Yeah. 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 Authorities later learned that the blood of the palm print belonged to both Travis Alexander and Jody Arias.
Okay.
Following this, the detectives traveled to Yreka to give Jody a little visit.
Mm.
They sat down with her at the police department, and they started with the hard questions. Detective Flores looked at her and asked her to tell him the last time she saw Travis Alexander. And her response was the same as it has always been. April 2008 was the last time she saw him when she moved from Mesa, Arizona.
Lies.
And then Detective Flores pulled out the big guns.
Did he show her the photos?
He pulled out the suggestive photos of Jody taken on June 4th. He laid them out on the table and asked her to explain the photos to him. She denied knowing what the photos were.
What?
So he pointed out the timestamp on them and said that they appeared to be naked photos of her.
Yeah.
And after looking at the photos for a little bit longer, Jody agreed. The photos do, in fact, look like her. Yeah, they do. It does look like me. You're right.
Uh-huh.
And then Detective Flores, in like one of, I don't remember if it was Snapped or 2020, he goes, no matter how much evidence I would tell her about, her response stayed the same. The last time I saw him was in April 2008.
That's so weird. That's so weird.
Okay. It's not funny, but it's like, bitch, he's literally like, showing you.
He's showing you that they have evidence that to doesn't look like me. You. Yeah, you're right. That looks like me. Huh. Weird.
So they then place Jody on a hold overnight.
Okay.
At this point, Detective Flores learned that 1 week before the killing, Jody's grandparents' house had been robbed. She was the only one home when it had happened, and only four things were missing. One of them being a 25 caliber gun.
So she robbed her grandparents? That's so rude.
Someone else robbed them. She was home alone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And it just so happens that the caliber of her grandparents' gun that was stolen was also...
So they gave the stolen gun to Jody?
No. What they actually also robbed happens Travis. That I'm going to get to it in a little bit, but what actually happens is that somebody else breaks in and kills Travis. So it's got to be the same people that robbed Jody also.
That
I'm pretty
makes...
sure.
Different states. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Yreka to Mesa, and just happens that Jody and Travis know each other, but like it was a total complete...
What a coinkydink.
Absolutely.
I'm loving this alibi from Jody.
By the way, the gun was never recovered.
Mm, okay.
So the day after she spent the night in jail on her temporary hold, Jody decided she needed to talk to the detectives again.
Oh. Didn't ask for a lawyer, though.
No. So they sit down and talk to her, and she tells them she's been lying to them.
You don't say.
She admits to being at Travis's house on June 4th. Mm-hmm. She arrived at 3 a.m. and they immediately went to bed. Mm. When they woke up in the morning, they had sex. They took some photos, took a shower, and while Travis was in the shower, Jody heard a noise.
A noise.
She went to look and saw two masked intruders standing in the bathroom, and they killed him.
Oh, how rude.
The man
masked intruders.
Mm-hmm. The man and woman duo kicked Jody out of the house and
the
told her.
The man and woman duo masked the man and woman. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
They kicked her out of the house and told her that. I'm sorry. They told her to leave or they'll kill her family.
Big on, woman.
So she
this
did.
This is so ridiculous.
But she did just that.
Oh.
She left and told no one that story. Sure. Ever. Until right now in this very interrogation room.
Okay. Pause for a second.
Okay.
Say that truly happened. Mm-hmm. You surprise your ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You're both in new relationships. Mm-hmm. You go to bed. You wake up. You have sex. You shower. While your boyfriend's in the shower, two masked people come in and they're like, get out of here, lady. And you just do it?
Yeah, they weren't there for her, obviously.
You don't tell anyone. You don't be like, my ex-boyfriend is in danger.
They were going to kill her family. You're not paying attention.
I don't remember you saying that part.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. If she doesn't leave, they were going to kill her family.
Oh.
Yeah.
Still. What?
Yeah. So.
That, like, we are taking a break from reality right now.
She's so fucked.
Yeah.
Like, fucked up in the head, and she's clearly, well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
So. I think after the super real story that Jody told.
Absolutely, totally real.
Detective Flores needed some time to let that all sink in.
Sure.
He left Jody in the interrogation room by herself for a while. And that's when Jody did some pretty weird shit.
Mm.
They caught this all on camera. I've watched it. Fucking Nancy Grace is in the beginning of this clip, but whatever. She goes... Thank goodness they had a camera going because nobody would believe what happened next.
Oh, boy. For Nancy Grace to say that.
I know.
You know it's going to be some unhinged shit.
So, Jody first did almost like a backbend in the chair. Like, you know how people will push up against like a table or something to crack their back against the...
Yeah,
yep. She kind of did that, but she kept going and it kind of ended up looking weirdly sexual. Like,
her vagina was now in view, obviously in pants, but like she was really, really stretching back.
Okay.
Then she started to sing "O Holy Night."
And in June?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she did a headstand.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. Was she still singing when she did the headstand?
No. Okay. She had stopped. Well, I don't think so. I don't remember.
Okay. This is weird.
She also talked to herself and said, "You should have at least done your makeup, Jody. Gosh."
What?
Yeah. Detective Flores came back in and asked for the story one more time.
Yep.
So she repeated it.
Okay.
They were attacked by two masked intruders, a man and a woman, who were hellbent on killing Travis.
Hellbent.
One of the masked intruders told her to leave and threatened to kill her family if she ever mentioned it, if she ever mentioned the incident to anyone. Such obviously. Bullshit.
Obviously. Come on, detective.
And Detective Flores repeated it back to her. Two masked intruders brutally murdered Travis, but let you go unharmed?
Right.
Detective Flores didn't understand why she wasn't killed also. Mm. And Jody confirmed that they were not there for her, only Travis.
Which they made super clear to her, like, we're not here for you. Be gone.
I think, and I didn't write this down, I think at one point she literally says that they, like, argued. And one of them says, no, we aren't here for her. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then Detective Flores says to Jody, you left Travis's house knowing your friend was gravely injured and you just went on with your life. She said, yes, she was really scared. They threatened to hurt her family.
Uh-huh.
And Detective Flores asked if that was the story that she wanted to stick to, and she said that was the truth.
The truth. Did she then say, you can't handle the truth?
I hope so, but I don't know. Detective Flores then told Jody they did not believe her story, and she was going to be placed under arrest, under the suspicion of the murder of Travis Alexander.
Good.
Wow. Jody then said to Detective Flores, this is a really trivial question, and it's going to reveal how shallow I am. But before you book me, can I clean myself up a little bit? To which Detective Flores replied, you're going to be taken the way you are.
Yeah. What was she hoping to do? Put her makeup on?
Yeah. Oh, there are...
For her mugshot?
There are they start recording her before interviews, and it's makeup. Just... makeup after makeup, and she's always like, oh my gosh, I haven't been able to wear makeup in days, like, this,
oh my god,
oh my god. But they record her because, like, you fucking idiot. She smiled in one of her mugshots. Like, it's, yeah, it's bad.
You always know it's bad when there's like a giant grin in a mugshot.
Oh yeah, like, she's genuinely like, we'll post it, you guys will have to go look for it on the socials, because it's horrible. So on July 9th 2008, Jody Arias was indicted by a grand jury in Maricopa County, Arizona, for the first-degree murder of Travis Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
She was extradited to Arizona on September 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Jody pled not guilty on September 11th. And on October 31st, 2008, the state announced they would be seeking the death penalty.
Spooky.
And this is where I'm going to leave you for the week.
Oh, man.
So next week, I will cover the trial and all the dumb shit she's done since then.
Excellent.
Also,
dumb shit.
Huge warning. If you Google Travis Alexander, the crime scene photos are very easy to find. So just be careful if anyone Googles this case. I mean, I've seen them. They're very easy to find. So just want to make that warning.
This is one of many times I've been so grateful that you always find the photos for the episodes, because I don't want to see these crime scene photos.
Yeah, there's a picture from like the photo shoot when he's in the shower, and it's gotta be like, as Jody is about to stab him or whatever, he looks genuinely terrified. I'm not gonna post it because it's literally like whatever, but he looks genuinely terrified of her. It's so sad.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
I bet he was terrified of her.
I bet he was too. I just also want to say that all my sources will be revealed at the end of next week's episode. There's a long list of them. I'm still collecting them. That's just why they're not here today.
I like it. I like it.
So, final thoughts with Amanda.
Oh, I mean, I'll probably have more formed final thoughts next week, to be honest,
okay,
because we'll get the end of the story. And yeah. I don't know the end of the story. I knew some of this stuff today.
Yeah.
But like, God, what an idiot. That's basically all I've been thinking is like, she's so fucking dumb.
I think it's interesting that she literally couldn't wait. She called them immediately when it's released that they...
I think that shows a lot about how impulsive she is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not one to be able to tell you if she had planned to kill him when she went to see him based on bringing a gun, which I'm assuming they're going to argue she did, that it's premeditated because she brought a gun. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like, it seems like she at least thought about it, but like, if she's that impulsive and was showing stalking behaviors and stuff, like, he probably was terrified of her.
I bet he was.
Yeah.
It's also interesting that he... And I understand, like, being blinded by love, but, like, she does not seem like she hid anything.
No, not at all.
Whatever.
She was fully herself, I think.
Yeah, and he...
As they dated.
Yeah, and he, you know, was... Loved her, which is fine. You know, I... Love makes you do crazy things, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so sad that...
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna feel... Am I gonna feel happy next week? Can you tell me that?
Yeah, you will.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, good, because I don't feel happy today.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I couldn't figure out where to end it today, and I was like, I'll just end it here.
This is probably a good spot, because at least like we're ending it with her being arrested.
Yes, yep.
So, like, but Travis's poor family.
Yeah.
And poor Mimi, too. Not that, like... I don't know. Like, on top of your boyfriend getting murdered, you also have to find out through media that he's been cheating on you, too. Like, that, it's like a double layer of grief. Because, like, she's probably initially grieving her boyfriend, who's now dead. And then, like, she has to separately grieve, oh my God, he'd been lying to me before he died. So, like, now the memory of him is tarnished.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but that's okay. Next week.
Yeah, next week. Something
Part
to look two forward
of to. Jodi Arias.
Great.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to leave you there, and I'm sorry with these final thoughts. We really need to start learning. We have to write down an ending.
I know, like,
so we can bring it back up at the end.
I've started just being like, final thoughts with Lauren. Ask Lauren what her final thoughts are, and like,
that's and then we're just like, oh,
yeah.
Okay,
and they're both like, this is a bummer. Yeah.
Well. Stay tuned for next week's episode of Jodi Arias Part 2. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Have a wonderful week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find us on Instagram at A Most Wanted Pod. On Instagram, we do post true crime trivia every Sunday, and occasionally we do some horror movie trivia as well. You can find us on X, or formerly known as Twitter, at A Most Wanted Pod. You can like us on Facebook at A Most Wanted Podcast. You can send us an email at amostwantedpodcast@gmail.com. You can visit our website at amostwantedpodcast.com. And please remember to listen, subscribe, and love. Bye.